If you could open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 30. And we're going to be reading from Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. Amen. Psalms chapter 30. I want you to turn to somebody while you're looking up that scripture and say, I believe, that God has a word, for me. Right now. Say it again to somebody. I believe, that God has a word, for me. Right now. Amen. 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 Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. When we get there, glory to God. Let us all stand as we show reverence to the word of the Lord. If you're able to stand, glory to God. Amen. Psalms chapter 30, verses 1 through 5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance, listen to that, at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word because we know that your word is already blessed. And so, Lord, you've given us a mind. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us, Lord, today to receive this word. Lord, you've given us a will, but Lord, we pray, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ today that you would help us not to just hear this word, God, but to do what this word says. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we know, Lord, that it is something that we are in need of as the believer. And so help us, God, to understand this word, that we can apply it to our daily lives. Yes, Lord, I've studied, but I need your strength. Yes, Lord, I have prepared, but I need your power. Fill me now, Lord, with your spirit that I might preach your word under your anointing power, that on this day, God, we would not be just hearers alone, but we would receive this word, and Lord, that we would do what this word says. Father, we thank you and we bless you, for it is in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and we say together as one family of God, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord some praise. You all may be seated. Glory to God. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to say to your neighbor, when I get my thank you back.
When I get my thank you back.
Hallelujah. We can all remember when we were children, the very first thing that our parents, when we came of age to really knowing right from wrong cognitively and being able to make decisions, knowing that the stove was hot so we didn't put our hand over it, knowing that if we fell and we scraped our leg that it was painful, and so we respond to it many times by crying. But we also as children came to understand that whenever somebody did something good for us, or somebody helped us in a good way, or somebody brought us something as a child, our parents taught us to say thank you. It was never a moment that when you were a child and somebody gave you a gift for your birthday, or somebody brought you a meal, or you sat at the table and your parent fixed your plate. And it was important for you as a child to understand how important and how valuable a thank you is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible teaches us that in everything, turn to somebody and say, in everything.
In everything.
Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And so, unfortunately, today we're living in a world where the church has become distracted by worldly things. As believers, we are losing sight of the things that are really important in our lives, like our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our family relationships, our good friends, the love that we ought to have for one another. The truth is, we have lost, in many cases, or we have lost the understanding of what a thank you really means, even though we have still a lot to be thankful for. Somebody shout amen. Amen. The world has become more focused on being successful than being sanctified. We are living in a world where many people have become ungrateful, discouraged, disconnected, and ungrounded. And the challenging part of all of this is some of those folks are believers. So the psalmist sings this song in this text because of a thankful heart for the great deliverance that God provides. This particular portion of text, David is singing and lifting up the Lord at the dedication of his house. And so in this, David praises God for the deliverance he had received as he calls others to rejoice and be thankful as well. One of the things that we have to begin to understand and believe and walk in as believers is that everything that God has done, will do, and is doing, We ought to always form our lips to say, thank you, Lord. There's nothing that God is doing in our lives that we ought to be grateful for what God is doing. But while being grateful for what God is doing, we ought to recognize that God did not have to do it.
Amen.
The truth is that we are living under the authority of God, but we're still living by the grace of God, so that every good thing, every perfect thing, the Bible says, comes down from the Father who is above us. And so every good thing that God has done, every perfect thing that God has done, everything when we weren't even willing to move in the direction that God was calling us to move in, He was still good to us. And so there are reasons for us to be thankful. In this text, there are two things that we should never have a problem doing when we are truly thankful to God. The first thing is that when you are thankful to God, you don't mind giving Him all the praise. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. And I love the fact that as the psalmist writes it, he identifies who are the children of God or who are the saints of God, because he says specifically, he says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. And then he says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Every time we think about the goodness of the Lord, we ought to say thank you. Amen. Every time His name is lifted up, wherever we are, when His name is lifted up, we ought to say thank you, Lord. Because at the name of Jesus, there is the glory of God, but in the glory of God is also the power and the giving of God. And so everything that God gives, everything that God does, the prerequisite for that is faith. But after He does it is praise.
Amen.
That's what praise means. Hallelujah. It means giving God the highest praise. And praise is simply saying, Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Or you may be in a specific situation and you may be coming out of it, and it's still time to say, Lord, thank you. You might be in a situation right now. And because God is good, it is our responsibility to give him praise. I want you to understand something. Giving God praise means to express happiness or relief that something he did or he is doing happened that nobody else could do. And so get that thing on your mind. Get that thing on your heart that God has done for you that you know nobody else could do for you. And now after you ponder over it, our response to what God has done. And so the truth of the matter is that even if God doesn't do a new thing for you, you and I still have more to thank God for because of what he's already done. And so if I can praise him for what he's already done, if I think about what he did just yesterday, it ought to make me more excited and more elacious about what God is able to do to be able to say, I praise you. Yeah. Yeah. I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
When you travel from one place to another,
thank you, Father,
and you make it there safely, that's a reason, good God Almighty, yeah, to say thank you. When you lay your head down at night and you're able to open your eyes up in the morning, even if you're crawling out of the bed, that's still a reason to say thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Listen, when you're able to stand on your feet and even if you need a crutch to move, that you're still moving is a reason to say thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
When you're thankful to God, you don't mind giving him praise and you don't mind giving him praise no matter where you are. I don't know if this has ever happened to you that there are times that I've been in the middle of busy places and I think about something jars my memory and makes me think about something that God did that was awesome in my life. And I could be standing on an elevator or sitting with my students in class and I got to sometimes catch myself because I'll say out of my mouth, amen, thank you, Lord. And people will look at us funny and wonder why they saying thank you. Well, nothing has happened. But if you put my shoes on for 1 minute and realize what God has brought you through in the footsteps that he's moved you through, listen, nobody else has to understand.
Amen.
Oh, but you can say thank you, Lord. Because God is a good God. You think about it, when you think about all that God has done in your life and all that God is doing, listen, the expectation of the believer is to praise him.
Yeah.
When I think about the goodness of the Lord,
yeah,
and the Bible says, and all that he has done for me, my soul, the Bible says, shouts out hallelujah. Listen. My soul even understands it. Even if my mouth don't say it, my soul understands the goodness of what God has done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Father.
The psalmist says, sing praise to the Lord,
mm-hmm,
you saints of his. Mm-hmm. If you're in here this morning and you belong to God, there ought not be nothing that should keep your mouth from giving God praise. And I want you to understand something. I could worship God in silence. I could worship God and you not even know I'm worshiping God. I don't even have to lift my hands up when I'm worshiping God, because worshiping God is about who he is. And see, because I know who he is, I can worship God and be sitting still and you not know I'm worshiping God. But I'm telling you right now, I can't praise God with my mouth closed. Because to praise God means you are thanking, good God Almighty, means you are thanking God for something that he has done. Praise, worship, thanks God or understands God for who he is, but praise, thanks God for what he's doing and what he's done in the life of the Christian.
Yeah, amen.
So I don't know. I don't know how people can just silently praise the Lord. No. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto. Listen, when I praise God, I can't be quiet about what God has done. I have to lift my hands. I have to shout hallelujah. I might even stand up and jump up and down a little bit because the things that God has done for me in secret that nobody else knows but me and him is more than enough right there.
More than enough. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
It says, and give thanks. Glory to God. And give thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, I will.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. I will extol you as the psalmist talks to the Lord. He says, "Oh Lord, for you have lifted me up." Good God Almighty. Has anybody in here this morning been lifted up out of something? Has anybody this morning been lifted up into something? Because some stuff God is lifting us out of, but some things he's lifting us into. And so the reality of it is, the psalmist understands that I must extol. In other words, what the psalmist is saying, he's saying, I will lift up God with great enthusiasm.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm telling you right now, I don't know anybody that can be quiet and enthusiastic at the same time. When you're enthusiastic about somebody, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know who your favorite team is in football, but when your team scores a touchdown and you jump up and down and shout the name of your team, that's enthusiasm. Now, how is it we will praise our teams? Help us, Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the praise of God, you can't get nobody out their seat. And I don't care what's in a person's hand, if their team shoots the winning basket or scores the touchdown to win the game, potato chips dip everything all over the place. And we clean it up afterwards because everybody who team just won was enthusiastic about it. Now, how is it that we can give the world that praise? But then when it comes to the praise of God, oh, we're silent about it. And I'm telling you, my team has not done anything for me. But when I think about what God has done for me, it can never leave my thinking. It is etched in my mind and in my soul because of what God is, who he is, and what he's done.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
God has made us to walk in righteousness. God has made us to walk in forgiveness. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I love when the songwriter wrote, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. And so how is it that I can have something that God has given me despite how I might feel sometimes, I still have it, and even my biggest troubles cannot take my joy away.
Amen.
Your biggest dilemmas in your life cannot steal. That's why when people say, you know, I'm not going to let the devil steal my, he can't take nothing that he didn't give you.
Amen.
The devil is a liar. He can't steal your joy. He can steal a whole bunch of stuff from you as a believer, but the Bible says God is our joy. That the joy of the Lord is my strength.
That's our strength. Thank you, Father.
And so he made us walk in forgiveness and joy and love and peace. Glory to God. He gives the peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. And he said, when you're confused in life, he said, this peace will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's what we're either going to walk in or we're not going to walk in.
Amen.
He's given us authority.
Thank you, Lord.
For his name's sake.
Thank you, Father.
I'm telling you right now, praise is an action word. That praise is something that ought to overflow in the believer, out of the believer's heart, because when we think about all that God has done, glory to God, hallelujah. When we think about situation after situation after situation, and I'm going to tell you something, even if God moves, even if you move off your own life, you think about people who you love, you think about your children and all that God has done for them because you've been praying for them situation after situation after situation. You think about your loved ones that are living a wonderful life, that God has moved in their health after situation after situation. The reality is that even if you don't look at yourself and what God has done for you, if you just turn to your neighbor and see your neighbor and how God has blessed your neighbor, there's still a reason to give God praise.
Yes. Amen.
He is the good God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He is the faithful God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. What is it that you've ever needed that God didn't provide for you? Hallelujah. 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 These folks that sit around and think that, you know, well, I ain't got nothing good going in my life. Take a deep breath. You looking for reasons to not praise God. Breathe in and out. That's a reason right there. Look at your watch. If you're able to see the time on your watch, if you're able to think through a situation that seems, and you in your right mind, listen, that's a reason right there to give God all your praise.
Amen.
See, when you're thankful.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.
When you're thankful to God, you never lose sight of who He is and what He's doing. Even in very difficult situations in your life, when you, good God Almighty, when you're thankful to God, that you even when you're depressed about situations or anxious about situations, your mind doesn't stay there. Your mind shifts and thinks about, well, remember when the Lord did this? Remember when the Lord brought you out of this? Remember when the Lord provided this for you? Remember, remember, remember. That's why the writer could say, remember the things that God has done. Remember His name and how God has move in your life. His name is above any other name. And so when you recognize that, you recognize that we always ought to be in the position of being thankful. See, it is the child of God that understands that it is my responsibility to acknowledge the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Listen, through our praise for Him. And I want you to understand something. Before He saved us, we didn't have a reason to praise Him. Before He lived, that's what He says. Sing praise to the Lord. That's what the psalmist says. You saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance. Some of us got too much of a short-term memory. And we just thinking about the trouble we were in yesterday. I want you to go back some years if you could. And I want you to think about some things God did for you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. See, when you understand who God is, you can't have a short-term memory. You got, beloved, you got to have a long-term memory to think about the things that God did when you were a child that could have wiped you out and you'd have never been here if it was not for the goodness of the Lord. So we understand praise because even the angels in heaven sing to Him. Glory to God. We shouldn't. And so if the angels in heaven are singing to Him, then why shouldn't those on earth do the same work? The Bible says all the angels doing is shouting, holy, 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 lifting up the name of the Father, glorifying God. And I'm telling you, they're in heaven. And so they haven't experienced, the angels who are in heaven have not experienced health issues. Come on, amen, amen, amen. The angels in heaven have not experienced difficult situations where they may have lost everything and had to rebuild everything back up. The angels in heaven, they understand that there's to praise God because He's worthy, because God is who He is and He is magnificent. He is the magistrate, glory to God, over everything that happens. And I don't believe there's one angel in heaven that had to go through what you went through to get to where you are. And if they could praise God, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12 says, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. They understand what it's all about. Revelation 7, verses 11 and 12. The angels in heaven understand that God must be lifted up. And I'm telling you, down here on earth, we can go through some things sometimes where we're not even lifting God up, but sometimes we're trying to lift ourselves up. And then there's some things that go on in our lives where we feel like we're so low that we cannot lift up anything, especially lifting up the name of Jesus, because we think that there's no way out of what I'm in. And I'm telling you, let God be true and every man be a liar. There's not a situation in your life. Listen, anything that is happening in your life as a believer, I want you to understand that if God has not purposed it, then God is using it to bring you around to his purpose. There's nothing, there's not an experience that God wastes. God uses every single experience. And so you and I understand that God uses the experience not because you and I have done anything wrong, but God sees where your faith is. And in order to bless you at the level that you're asking him to bless you at, he got to cause some situations to happen to bring your faith up where your request is.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Turn to somebody and say, you're not there yet.
Not there yet.
Look at them, but tell them you're on your way.
I'm on my way.
Come on, give the Lord some praise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're on your way. And I'm telling you, you don't have to try to do anything because God is the transport. God is the one that moves you from point A to point B. Sometimes he move us and we ain't even trying to move. Good God Almighty. And who am I talking about? God still moves us despite how we feel even about ourselves.
Yeah. Amen. My Lord. Yeah.
So we believe him to be God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we believe him to be nothing to stop, no short of his will for the life of the believer, those who are trusting and depending upon him. Now here's what I want you to understand. Don't you put no time limit on God. Don't you put a time limit on him. Because look at verse 2. Glory to God. Look at verse 2. That's going to lead us into what the second point is. Verse 2 says, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. See, I'm telling you right now, that's exclusive. The psalmist didn't say, I cried out to my mama and God, you healed me. The psalmist didn't say, I called my daddy and I cried on the phone for a whole hour, but you healed me. The psalmist makes it clear that anything that you are asking God to do, you're going to get from God. And so if you've asked God to do it and you believe that God can do it, then the second point is this, glory to God. When you are thankful to God, you learn how to wait on him.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord.
Come on, he's done great things in your life.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. There, right there. That's when you ought to shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because not only has he done great things for you, he has also done great things to you. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And so when we are thankful to God, you learn how to wait on him. Look at verse 5. Glory to God. It says in verse 5, it says, his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Hallelujah. Says your weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to understand something. Is that when we try to do things in our own strength, thinking that we can do it or accomplish it without God's accommodation, I believe that we offend God. I believe God is offended when we know he can do it. When we know that he has the power to accomplish it. When we know that he has the authority to move that thing with power. And then instead of trusting God to do it, we do it ourselves. Or we try to do it ourselves. And so I believe God gets offended. That's why the psalmist, could write starting in verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. I believe God gets angry with us sometimes. And we're praying and we're, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. But we ain't got no faith in what we're asking God to do. And instead of trusting God to do it, we get up from our prayer and get up from our knees and we operate in our flesh and we operate in our own intelligence and we try to fix it and do it ourselves. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. If there's a need, if there's something that you need and God grants you the wisdom to move and get it, I want you, God wants us to walk in his wisdom. But I'm talking about when we walk in our own understanding. And so when we walk in our own understanding, you see, so often we talk about how good God is and that God is loving and that because of Jesus, we're not judged. And all of that is right. God does not judge us because of salvation, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But just like a parent who won't put you out their house, but if you do something you ought not supposed to do, doesn't mean that your parent won't get angry with you and sometimes have to discipline you. I think every single one of us in here has gotten a spanking in the natural. But I believe in here, we also have been spanked in the spirit. That there have been things we tried to move on, and God said, nope, that's not my will. And we operated and did it anyway. And it didn't turn out the way we wanted to turn out. Really, the truth is we were more challenged because of what we tried to do. That's a spanking from God. When God turns you and I over to our own devices, you ought not get excited about that. Because it was our own devices that kept us in sin. Come on, amen. I know we think we perfect and we ain't done nothing wrong. But the truth of the matter is, God saved us because we were wrong. Amen. The Bible says that there's no good that can come from the flesh. But yet we think that there's good in the flesh because we're good people. Well, I'm telling you, there are good people who don't know Jesus, who the Bible says, because of their lack of godly understanding, are going straight to hell and will not bypass that unless they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Now, that ain't your pastor. That's what the Word says. And so it is the word of God that the Bible says that it is Christ, that when we come to him, that there's no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever he saves, he sanctifies. Whoever he sanctifies, he predestines. Whoever he predestines, he forgives. And so we've got to understand that if God has done all of that for us and he is the God who is then ordering our steps, then how come we lose so much time with our impatient selves? God, give it to me now. And I believe sometimes God say, you ain't ready for it right now. And so I've got to take you through a series. Oh, good God Almighty. I've got to take you through a series of events that will prepare you for what not only you're asking for, because right now some of us might be asking above our grade. Oh, glory to God. And see, son, I'm telling you, the things that God really want to do that's real powerful in your life, you're going to have to wait on it. It ain't going to come. It might not come tomorrow. It might not even come next year. But I believe in the waiting time, God is building up our faith and our strength to be able to endure. And that when God does it, you won't be able to take credit for it. If he'd have did it when you asked for it, you'd have walked around like you did it. And so God says, no, you're still too much in yourself right now. You're still too much in your emotions. I've got to break you down in order to move you forward, because this thing that I want to do in your life is not going to come quickly. You're going to have to wait on this. You're going to have to wait on this. Waiting on God simply means that I'm believing God. I'm believing God is my power to endure any discomfort or difficulty that might come my way. Listen to this, because I know he is in charge of what is coming my way. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know. So Lord, if I got to go through it another year, I know that you're the God who is going to bring this thing to me, because I trust you and I depend upon you. And if I can't wait on you, I don't deserve it. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. We have, I believe, a lot of times as Christians, we've been saved for years, but we got a little baby mentality. Because that's what babies do. Babies, when you lay a baby down and a baby or child want to be picked up, they grab for you the whole time and they cry and whine until you pick them up. And you know you looked at as a bad parent if you lay them down and they whining and crying and you say, listen, let them do that. Let them do it. You looked at as a bad parent. People look at you and say, how in the world could you leave that baby? That baby crying and whining. You ought to go pick that baby up. Well, the thing is, I can either strengthen you by making you wait for it, or I can give you a pacifier just for the moment to make you feel good. And God is not into making us feel good. God is into building our faith.
Thank you, Lord.
And so don't you expect no pacifier from God.
Amen. Yeah.
God ain't going to put a pacifier in your mouth and say, oh, you know, I'm going to bring it to you. If you just lay there, I'm going to pick you up. No. There's some things that God will do like that. But I'm telling you, you keep living by faith and you keep walking with God. I'm telling you, there's some times that you can reach out and whine and cry. And God say, I'm going to keep you there for a little while longer because I want to prove to you who I am to you. And I can't do that if I pick you up. I can't do that if I hold you and coddle you. Some things you got to experience to know how difficult life is. That when I put my hand in your situation, you're going to know I stirred it up.
Amen.
Waiting on God. The psalmist writes in, look at verse 3. He says, oh Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. Hallelujah. Then he says, look at what he says. Glory to God in verse 3. He says, you have kept me alive.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Woo! Yes. Oh, glory to God. Oh, right there. I'm telling you, right there. You don't have a reason to give God praise. You listen, that right there is a reason right there, because the Lord, you need to understand this morning that the Lord is the one that's keeping you alive, waking you up every morning. I know your alarm clock goes off, but your alarm clock doesn't have power to wake you up.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, my Lord.
Amen.
My Lord. Turn to somebody and tell them, when I get my thank you back. Oh, hallelujah. You're not going to be able to stop me then. Glory to God. Oh, when I get my thing. Oh, when I realize how good God is and how good God has been. When I really lay and rest in that understanding, and I know that everything that God does, the breath he gives me, you and I to breathe, the action that he gives us to move in, the steps that he's ordering. When I really get my thank you back and understand who God is and what God has done in my life, the Bible said, there's nothing that is too hard for God. He says, for his anger is but for a moment. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, yes, God gets angry, but you better be grateful to God and thankful to God. Look at what he says next. His favor is for a lifetime. That means you might, my mama and daddy might spank me, but at least they ain't put me out the house. Glory to God. Oh yeah, I was wrong and they may have scolded me and punished me and told me I couldn't go outside for a week. But glory to God, I'm so glad that they didn't stop feeding me dinner every night. So the reality of it is that the favor that God has, we've got to understand that, yes, we are wrong sometimes, but you better thank God that the favor of God that rests in the Spirit of God over our lives and in our hearts has not been removed from us. I'm still a child of God. I ain't perfect. Turn to somebody and say, I ain't perfect, but I'm still a child of God. Come on, look at him. Tell him, I don't do everything right all the time. Oh, but I'm still a child of God. I might not think that the way I ought to think sometimes, but I'm still a child of God. I might get angry sometimes and might want to say something that I ought not say, but I'm still a child of God.
Amen, amen.
Turn to somebody and say, you can't lose that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can lose a whole lot of things, but you can't lose. You can't lose. I don't care what anybody says. The Bible teaches us that you cannot lose your salvation.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That once you're saved, you always saved.
Amen.
He's still your daddy. Jesus is still your savior.
Thank you,
and so when we understand that, if your weeping endures for a night and it be a worrisome night, because sometimes that when the text says night, it doesn't mean your night could be a week.
<Woo-wee>.
Yeah, your night could be a year. But no matter how worrisome the night is, you have to know that daylight is coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so we have to understand that when we rest in our thank you to God, no matter what we feel, as sure as the light of the morning returns after the dark night is over, sister, so sure will your joy and your comfort return to you in due time. Why, Pastor? Because you're a child of God.
Amen.
And so the weeping is part of the reality that what I'm in is not comfortable. But when I recognize that I'm in something that I'm not comfortable in, and the only way I can get out of what I'm in, I've got to rely on something stronger than myself.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And so even in your nighttime, there is still a purpose for it. That when your nighttime is there, listen, you, I want you to get hold of this. God wants us to understand this, because just because it's nighttime does not mean that it's over. When you go to bed at night, you don't say to yourself, well, oh, I could die tonight. And when you turn the lights off, you don't say to yourself, oh, Lord, it's dark already. Lord, I know I'm going to die because it's nighttime. But you're able to go to sleep. And doctors and scientists have said when a person is asleep, the closest a person is to death is when they're asleep at night. But while we're asleep at night, everything God said he would do, he's doing. Your blood is, see, just because you laid down and you have stopped does not mean that good God, does not mean that God has stopped. And so what God wants to remind us as Christians is just because he said that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. He said just because you stopped and you slowed down does not mean that I'm slowing down. Listen, you don't know when I'm coming, but I want you to know I'm coming. You don't even know how I'm going to get you there, but I want you to know I'm going to get you there. And so if your nighttime is a year from today, you still understand that as sure as God brings the sun up in the morning, as sure as he puts light in the air and in the sky, I'm sure that kind of sure is how I know he's going to do what I need him to do.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm telling you right now, I love I love getting up in the morning. And, you know, we sometimes leave our shades open just a little bit, our blinds open just a little bit, and so that when the sun comes up, that we can see sunlight coming through the house. Glory to God, coming through the room. And I'm telling you, there's not a morning that you and I have gotten up where the sun said, I'm not doing that this morning. There's not a day that you breathed the air of God and got up on your 2 feet and you didn't see the sun shining in the morning. Even if it's raining outside, you understand that this is just precipitation. This is not permanent. And so the rain comes, clouds move, sun comes right back out. And so the sun on course never misses its responsibility. And so I'm telling you this morning, if God lifts the sun up in the sky every morning and it never misses its appointment, then I'm telling you what you're worried about. Glory to God. What are you so concerned about that you don't believe God can do this, that you're so anxious about, that you see, one of the things that we got to do as Christians, we've got to learn to die to our emotions. Because God is trying to lead us one way and our emotions are trying to lead us another way. Yeah. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, that God can line our emotions up with his will, but the emotions can never take over.
Amen.
The emotions have to still see that, oh, yeah, God is in control. Our emotions have to see that God is in charge. That I'm under our emotions. We've got to place our emotions under the authority of God. And so when God says move, we move. When God says it's time, it's time.
Yeah.
And part of waiting on God is about preparation for us. So that when God does it, we're prepared for it.
Thank you, Lord.
We're ready for it.
God
wouldn't give to you and I something that we ask for that he knows that we're not spiritually strong enough to handle it. Because I'm telling you, when the blessing comes, you better also expect the opposition that comes with it.
Amen.
Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. We want the blessing, but Lord, don't give me the opposition. Because when the blessing comes, the opposition comes to try to get you to take your attention off of what God is doing. And if you're easily distracted, you're going to focus on the opposition more than the blessing. And so we have to understand that the word of God and his strength is what he provides for us to walk in his power.
Thank you, Lord.
That we might endure the night.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, help us, Lord Jesus.
Help us, Father.
That we might endure. Weeping may endure for a night.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm telling you, I'm so glad that it's just one night. And I'm so glad that, and no matter how long, and that's why I want you to understand that this morning,